Studio 360.
There's a new movie right now called Arrival that's about aliens landing on Earth in their giant egg-shaped spaceships, making first contact with Earthlings. And their motives and thoughts and everything about them is inscrutable to the Earthlings because the aliens don't speak a language like anything on Earth.
Are you kidding us?
Yes, sir. It's uploading back to base camp.
Human. Human. Human.
That's Amy Adams playing a linguist who is tasked with trying to figure out how to communicate with these extraterrestrials. Physically, these beings look like giant octopuses. They've got seven legs, not eight, but close enough. And to try to translate their alien language, Adams' character has to figure out what it's like to be them, or what it must be like to be them. And, of course, the fate of the whole world hangs in the balance. Peter Godfrey Smith is a real person in real life who's also been thinking a lot lately about what goes on in the mind of an octopus. He's a philosopher of science, and in his new book, he actually points out that octopuses are the closest thing we've got on Earth to an alien life form. That book is called Other Minds, The Octopus, the Sea, and the Deep Origins of Consciousness. Peter Godfrey Smith, thanks very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So you write in this marvelous book that the octopus, and I guess its siblings, are the closest we're going to come on Earth to encountering an alien life form. Explain what you mean by that.
Sure. If you ask about the most recent common ancestor that we share with an octopus, you've got to go very far back down the evolutionary tree to about 600-odd million years ago.
And for comparison, our common ancestor with the chimp was just 6 million years ago. So this is – we're talking about a long time ago.
It's a long time. And in a way, the number itself doesn't capture all of it because it's so far back in the history of animal life that there were no animals on land.
Right.
The biggest things alive at that time would have been maybe some jellyfish.
Yeah.
So life was profoundly different.
So if octopuses are so different from us, they're essentially, as you say, alien beings, the fact that they made the aliens in Arrival look vaguely like octopuses or squid, they kind of got that right.
They got it right, perhaps even in a richer way than that. So I saw the film a week or so ago, and when you first see the animals, the imagined what the filmmakers imagined as these plausible aliens, they look like octopuses or perhaps squid, as you say.
Right.
But as the film went on, I found myself thinking, right, they're not really modeled even on octopuses. They're, if anything, modeled on something like a box jellyfish. They have not a bilaterally symmetrical design, but what's called a radially symmetrical design. They have no front and back. They've just got a top and bottom, essentially. It's more of a circular sort of structure. And what was, I think, good about that, one of the many good things about that film was the fact that when they imagined something as a plausible alien, they went so much further from us than filmmakers usually go because they even left the bilaterally symmetrical design. And as you get further from us, filmmakers have usually made the ones that are further away more hostile.
Yeah, because we can't feel – they're not cute. They're not mammal-like. We don't feel bonds with them, I guess.
Right.
Octopuses, because as you – I mean, they are so unlike us. I mean, comparatively speaking, chimps and dolphins and the rest are – yeah, we get that. They're but octopuses are not like us at all, are they?
In some ways, they are. I think you look at an octopus and you get this combination of radical difference and these little flashes of similarity. So the kind of curiosity that they exhibit, the fact that, we find them interesting, they find us interesting, and they find novel objects interesting. This certainly wouldn't be true of all the species, but at least some species of octopuses, including the ones I hang out with in Australia, They love novel objects, things that they've never seen before. They collect them.
And play with them.
Play with them. Yeah. We'll be very reluctant to give them back. So tape measures. I've had to get through a lot of tape measures because once an octopus gets hold of it, you probably aren't going to get it back. And octopuses can remember individual humans that they've encountered a sort of aquarium
and attack them
setting.
Like you write stories about that, like experimenters, like the same scientist will walk past them and the octopus will squirt that one scientist again and again,
right
which is amazing.
It is. When you see that, you think, okay, they're not so different,
right? And so you speculate a lot in this book about what octopus consciousness might be. What do you imagine to be the big differences between our consciousness and theirs?
The two things I think of as plausible huge differences are, firstly, just the different sensory worlds. The way they sense things differs radically. Now, they are very visual animals, and they've got eyes like us. But the fact, firstly, that everything that's touched is tasted, with those eight arms, they're continually tasting sort of so many things around them.
Literally tasting. And their brain essentially is decentralized and exists out in those eight tentacles.
Part of it's
in their head.
Where you'd expect to find it, right? Between the eyes. But a larger part of the nervous system, as you say, is spread through the body.
Right.
Also, the skin itself has a kind of light sensitivity. There's almost a kind of very, very minimal vision. So if you imagine being an animal, firstly, that has that kind of massive sensory openness to the world, that's a big difference.
The whole thing. Taste and whatever version of seeing they're doing is the whole body.
Exactly. Right.
Peter, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Peter Godfrey Smith's book is called Other Minds, The Octopus, the Sea, and the Deep Origins of Consciousness.